Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, it started with a familiar sensation every cat owner knows. Their cat jumps onto the mattress, walks across a bed, settles in. The problem, there was never a cat there.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Thank you so much for listening. Remember, if you have a real ghost story, we'd love to hear them. Super easy to share them with us. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. You can always just write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Support the show if you'd like by becoming a premium subscriber and get the advance episodes in, access to the archive where there are thousands of episodes and no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. Harper is with me today.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you today, Carol?
Good, my friend. Have you ever felt that weird sensation of a pet jumping on your bed, but no pet has jumped on your bed?
Yes.
Isn't that strange? Specifically
at my grandparents' house.
Really?
They have a cat. They had a cat named Scruffles.
That's a really cute name.
I know. It was a really standoffish cat that I somehow got to like me. But anyway, Scruffles died a few years ago. And last time we visited them and like we stayed at their house, it was weird because it was like roughly 12 in the morning and I sit up because I thought I felt Scruffles jump up onto the bed. There's nothing there. Dun dun dun.
And it's for a minute in between realizing, oh, the Scruffles just jumped on the bed, and then realizing, no, Scruffles couldn't have. There's that heartwarming feeling of, oh, the cat's on the bed with me. There's nothing better. I love when my cats sleep with me. And I love when my dog sleeps with me. Like, I love it. I find it very comforting to have all three of them on the bed with me. But it is weird. Like, it's happened several times in this house. And I did lose a cat in this house, Bob. And a cat's jumped on the bed. And then I always have that momentary, oh, thinking it's Rizzo or Izzy. And I reach over to pet him and it's like, wait a minute, and turn on the light, no cat. And I would have heard the cat jump off the bed because that's also a very distinct sound. But it's such a common haunting for most people because we've heard so many stories of pets and that familiar, like sometimes it might be a dog and the way his nails were on the hardwood floors and you hear that. Or maybe we had one, I think it was you and me had one recently about the squeaky toy.
Yeah.
That she heard the distinct sound of the squeaky toy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that one.
And you always have that moment of, oh, that sound I haven't heard for a long time, but wait a minute, I shouldn't be hearing that or I shouldn't be feeling that. So it is kind of strange when it happens. Like, were you scared when you realized the cat wasn't on the bed?
Not really. I was just like, Scruff, I know you're dead, but like,
that was kind of sweet.
Love you. Good night.
I think it's sweet. You still want to cuddle?
Yes. Well, because like when cats like jump up onto the bed, it's like that cat is like choosing you. Out of all the places and all the nooks and crannies that they could be sleeping, they're choosing to sleep on the bed with you. And I find that very cute.
I love that. I'm going to think about that tonight when one of them jumps up with me. Oh my God, Rizzo is choosing to sleep with me. All the places in this house, but Rizzo is choosing me. Well, that's what the story's about. And it says, I've been meaning to write in because I've heard so many stories about phantom pets over the years. And it reminded me that I have never shared my own story. When my husband and I had a ghost kitty, it started several years ago when we moved into our current house. The house itself isn't particularly old. It was built sometime in the 1970s. Had a few owners before us. There wasn't anything about it that made us think it was haunted. In fact, if someone had suggested that when we bought it, I would have rolled my eyes. Before we moved in, we had to repaint the master bedroom because there were stains along parts of the wall near the floor, and we figured a previous owner's cat had probably spent a lot of time marking territory in there, which is not good because sometimes that comes with a very overwhelming smell. At the time, we still had our cats at our previous house while we finished moving things. Once we finally brought them over, something strange happened. None of them wanted much to do with the master bedroom. They would walk in, look around, and leave. At night, they would sleep elsewhere in the house. If you've ever owned cats, you know they can be particular about things, so we didn't think too much about it. Still, it seemed odd because they had always slept with us before. A few weeks after moving in, I woke up in the middle of the night because I felt a cat jumping onto the bed. It wasn't a sound that woke me up. It was the feeling of the cat jumping on the bed. Anyone who has cats knows exactly what I mean. You get used to feeling them hop up beside you in the middle of the night. Half asleep, it made me kind of happy because I assumed one of our cats had finally decided the bedroom wasn't so bad after all. Then I felt it walking across the bed. The sensation moved between my husband and me, just like my cat would. I reached over without opening my eyes, expecting to feel fur, but nothing was there. I looked around the room, no cat. The next morning, I mentioned it to my husband, who suggested I had been dreaming. The problem was that it kept happening, not every night, not even every week. I would wake up feeling as if a cat had jumped onto the mattress. Sometimes I would feel it walk across a bed. Other times it felt like it settled down near our feet. Every time I checked, there was nothing there. Over time, our real cats got comfortable with the bedroom. These days, we have four cats. Most nights, at least one of them is sleeping somewhere nearby. Funny thing is that even after they started joining us in the room, I could still tell the difference between them and whatever I had been feeling before. It's hard to explain. When you live with animals long enough, you just become familiar with their habits. You know how much they weigh, you know how they move, you know which cat is which cat in the dark. At some point, I started jokingly referring to the visitor as Ghost Kitty. Any unexplained noise became Ghost Kitty. If something bumped up against a door, Ghost Kitty. If one of the cats knocked something off a shelf and we couldn't figure out which one had done it, the Ghost Kitty got the blame. Then, one night, my husband had an experience of his own. I woke up because he had shifted suddenly beside me in bed. And without opening my eyes, I just said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "One of the cats just walked across my legs." I remember smiling immediately because I knew exactly where the conversation was headed. I said, "Which cat?" He said, "I don't know. He was asleep and he woke up because he felt it climb on the bed and walk over top of him." So we turned on the bedside light. All four cats were elsewhere in the room. One was in a cat bed near the window. Two were sleeping together on a chair. The last one was stretched out on a blanket in the corner. Not a single one of our cats had been on the bed. Finally, my husband looked around the room and simply said, "Well, that's strange." That was probably the closest thing to an admission I was ever going to get. After that, he became much more open-minded about the whole thing. He never claimed we had a ghost cat. He still doesn't know what it is, but he stopped dismissing the experiences as dreams because he had experienced the exact same thing himself. It still happens from time to time, not frequently enough that we expect them, but every once in a while, one of us will mention feeling something move across the bed during the night. Whenever it happens, we automatically look around to see where all the cats are sleeping, and so far, every single time, they're accounted for. I do find it interesting that neither of us is bothered by it. Whatever it is, it doesn't feel threatening. If anything, it feels familiar. It's been part of our lives for so many years now that we hardly react when it happens. I sometimes wonder if a beloved pet from a previous owner simply decided it liked the bedroom and never left. If that's our biggest paranormal problem, I suppose we're pretty lucky. Thanks for all of the great stories, Lucinda. I love that. If that's our biggest paranormal problem, we're pretty lucky.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think it's kind of sweet.
I do too. I wouldn't mind having a ghost cat.
Because it's like just waking up in the middle of the night and there's a ghost that just wants to not like snuggle you in a creepy way. It's just like, "I would like to snuggle up by your feet and fall asleep right here."
It's a cat.
It's a cat. It's what
cats do.
Yes. Now the walking across you in the middle of the night, which my cats are known to do, It's like, you can't sleep through that. But it's like, if you're just cuddling up and you're doing your thing like a cat does, it's not hurting anything. And what I actually love, probably even more than the cat snuggling up with him, is the fact that the other four cats aren't reacting to it.
Yeah.
I like that. Because when she first said the cats didn't want to go in the room, it's one of two things. They're still smelling the other cat. If it's sprayed, it's hard to get rid of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're picking up on something paranormal in that room.
Dun-dun-dun. So, cats have been acquainted with ghost cats. Do you think that maybe they know that, like, when and where the ghost cat is more often than the humans do?
Could.
If cats could talk, do you think they'd have paranormal experiences?
Certainly, yes.
With other cats?
You know, my dog, he's gotten to where he's very, very, very nervous of storms, which I've talked about a lot. So storms, fireworks, so he's getting ready to go through hell. We're having storms like several days this week, and then it goes right into 4th of July, the poor guy. But It's funny when he hears something, because they have shot off fireworks at my neighborhood the last two nights. I guess they're left over from last year because I don't even know where they're buying them. But he just stares at the front door like somebody's going to walk in. I'm like, okay, you can be acting all nervous and stuff, but quit staring at the front door. It's kind of freaking me out. And he'll just stare very intently. And sometimes he'll stay in my living room. Sometimes he'll get like 5-10 feet away from the door and just stare at it like somebody's going to walk in.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah. I've never seen my cats do stuff like that, though. You know, when I moved into this house, cats can be really weird when you move them. So my old cat, bless his heart, he moved in here when he was 18. So that was a tough move for him. You know, the only other time he had moved, he had stayed at that house like for a month. Like I had to, like, we finally caught him and moved him to the new house. But it took forever. But when we moved here, he just stayed in my bedroom for 2 months.
Oh.
I had to feed him in there. He had a litter box in there. And then one night I was watching TV and then I saw him come out. I was like, oh my God, Bob's coming out. It was very sweet. But they can act very strange. So to me, the fact that the four cats got over the ghost cat enough, they can all sleep together. That's some pretty good ghost cat energy.
Yes. Good ghost cat energy.
So I would not do one thing to get rid of that. I would keep it around forever if it would stay.
Absolutely. If anything, I would like to be the crazy ghost cat lady.
I'm probably going to be. And that's okay with me. I'll be the crazy pet lady.
That's, I wonder if that's a thing that one could do. Phantom catnip, maybe?
Be kind of cool. Like, I don't know what happens when you die, but I sure want there to be a lot of pets there. I would like to every pet I've ever had to be there.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Well, let's go to a caller.
It's Hope from St. Paul again. Just listening to, again, an older episode. And I'm thinking back to my childhood, and I realize, I suppose, I guess I did have a ghost imaginary friend, but I never considered him my imaginary friend. I always knew he was a ghost. At times I could see him, at times I couldn't. His name was Danny. Oh, I called him Danny. His name was Daniel. And he was, I'm assuming from his clothes from like Frontier days, you know, looked kind of like cowboyish, that era. Just thinking about it, how, like, I'm, as I've said before, very sensitive. I was very used to paranormal, which is why I never even considered him an imaginary friend. But also, I never talked about him because, you know, he wasn't my imaginary friend. I didn't exactly want to tell my super religious ghost don't exist parents that I had a ghost friend. But basically, he was with me for most of my childhood, from about 5 years old and up, until college. But basically he would protect me from negative spirits, and warn me from interacting with them. The one time I didn't listen to him. I had ticked off a negative spirit that I was just sick of him messing with me. Bad things happened. But I just kind of found it interesting. It's like hearing about other people, you know, their imaginary friends. And I'm like, I always knew he was a ghost. And I don't know, maybe that's just weird. Maybe it's just me. I was kind of a weird child. But yeah, keep up the great work. Love the show. And I hope to hear this on the air at some point. All right, bye.
She brought up 2 points in there that kind of jumped out at me. One was that would be really difficult to know that you're seeing something nobody else is seeing, but you don't feel like you can talk about it with anybody.
Yeah.
You know? And so my guess is she tried to keep it quiet and, you know, pretend like it wasn't there because she didn't feel like her parents were open to her talking about it. And that makes me kind of sad for her.
Oh, yeah.
That would be difficult. The other thing was that she said that, didn't she say she had it into college?
I think so. I believe that's what she said.
Do you wonder, is there a difference between an imaginary friend and a guardian spirit of some kind? Could they be one and the same? Because you don't normally have an imaginary ghost friend, even if it is just a spirit. You don't normally see them for that long amount of time.
Yeah.
So I think she's kind of the exception there. Could it be, and it sounds like it's trying to protect her from things.
That's what it sounds like to me, too. So, I mean, I think maybe it's not an imaginary friend at all. Maybe it's just a guardian spirit.
It kind of makes some sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think that would be hard. Did you ever have an imaginary friend?
Nope.
Me, I don't even know what that would be like. I think it would be really strange because I think you would not realize nobody else could see it when you're really little.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing it. You don't even have the words to express your own emotions when you're little, you know? It's like you have tantrums, you cry. It's like, how would you deal with that? And so then to kind of morph it into, oh, this is imaginary. It's a ghost. I can't talk to my parents about it. She had a lot of stuff going on.
That she did, yeah.
That's a lot. Let's do one more story.
This is Jared from Jacksonville, Florida. I used to live in the Mandarin area down here, and we had moved into a house that was across from an old cemetery. Not sure how old it is and whether or not the house was built. There was another extension of it on the other side of the street where the neighborhood was built. But after a while, you know, we'd start getting woken up at night. It started off with just footsteps coming up the stairs where my loft bedroom was. And didn't really think much of it, just noises. But later on, we started, we get woken up by we had wooden chairs on the tile floor. And the tile floor, you know, when you drag those chairs across, it's very loud and, you know, very distinct noise. And we would get woken up by the chairs being pulled out from under the chair and dragging. Come down, no one's there, chairs pulled out from under the table. That started to weird us out a little bit. Then later on, we had a playroom, a spare bedroom downstairs, and in the spare bedroom, you know, that's where my little brother had all his toys and little trucks and stuff. Well, he had a car that was battery powered that would flash lights and play music and everything. Well, we got woken up one night and this, we heard the music playing. Open the door, car's rolling around, playing music, flashing lights. We turned the light on, it stopped. We picked it up, opened the battery cartridge, and there was no batteries in there. So that really creeped us out. And, you know, that was the first time we actually saw something moving around with it. And then later on, the footsteps on the stairs was a continuous thing. And then one night I was at work, and I get a phone call from my mom. She asked me if I had gotten home early and if I came in and I was upstairs, maybe talking on the phone or playing video games, and I was still at work. And she had heard the footsteps go up the stairs, and a few minutes later she heard conversations and, like, the TV was on and everything, and she had gone upstairs. Nothing. No one in there, no lights, anything. And then, you know, after that, it was just continuous footsteps up and down. I would be in bed at night. I would hear the steps coming up and down the stairs, you know. I just decided, you know, nothing's happening to me. We're not really, you know, scared. We were just kind of dealing with it, you know. It was like a little extra roommate. You know, a couple other things, you know, the chairs were dragging again, and we would see doors open and close sometimes. That was another thing, you know. It would slowly open. It would sit open for a minute, come back closed. It would open again, and then close. And then after that, it slowly stopped. We never, you know, tried to communicate with it or anything. We were just kind of weren't sure how to handle it or what to do about it. But that's all that happened. We moved out of the house later on. Nothing followed us. We don't know, you know, if it still happens to the new tenants, but keep doing what you're doing. Thank you.
He's so chill about all of it.
And then yes. He's
like, we moved out. Nothing happened, which I'm glad for them. But, you know, he's like, yeah, footsteps and stuff, but nothing ever hurt us. So, yeah, we're good. And I'm like, I would have been scared because I've heard footsteps before and it really bothers me because it's like, what is happening? But the one mm-hmm. that bothers me the most is like the whole, they go to the kids' room and they hear all that stuff. And then there's the toy that's going off, and then there's no battery.
Ugh.
And like, how do you just after that go back to bed?
I wonder why we get so many stories of spirits targeting kids' toys. Do you ever wonder about that?
Well, you know, it's kind of like if you do a paranormal investigation, if you look at some of what they use, it does kind of respond like a kid's toy. Like an EMF yeah. reader lights up. Like a kid's toy lights up. And, you know, like that one I did a couple months ago where they had the cat balls that light up and move around. And there was one bell that it would ring this bell. So it kind of gets responses like a kid's toy would give you.
Okay. So kind of like the auditory and visual responses.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so when you think about kids' toys kind of do have a similarity to some paranormal investigative tools.
I suppose
so. As far as lighting up. And so it might be that they can make it light up with their energy. They can make it make the noise.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes the most sense. Because, I mean, like, now that I think about it, it's like, how many other things can you do that? I mean, like, pressing a button on a blender.
Like turning a TV on and off, changing the channel on the TV, but turning my whole house fan on. Okay, maybe it's my cat. I don't know why it's done it twice in the middle of the night.
Twice?
Twice. I didn't tell you it did it again.
No, you only told me it did it once.
Yeah, it did it again a couple months ago. Middle of the night, same thing. I'm like, why can't it happened during the day. That would be kind of scary, but middle of the night, it's really scary when stuff like that happens.
Yeah, because only just hear big old noise.
Yeah. But that guy was just so cool about all of it. I want to be more like that. I do. I aspire. Yeah. I aspire. But you know what? At this age, I ain't never going to be like that. Because that ship has sailed. Well, if you have a real ghost story, we would love to hear it if you want to call it in. The number is 855-853-4802. You can always just write it down. We will read it for you. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. Become a premium subscriber. You can get the advanced episodes, access to the archive, no commercials. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for listening.